Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 20. We'll read a little bit. We'll start in verse number 17, and then with the Lord's help, we'll get to our text here in just a moment. I tell you this much, I got to take me a sip of water before I go much further. Amen. I don't know which one of y'all put this water up here, but thank you. That's a blessing. Amen. And I appreciate it. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. I need you tonight. Our church needs you, Lord. God, we need you to move and to have your will and your way to help us, Lord. Give us something that will go with us and will give us what we stand in need of through this week. And Lord, help us as we deal with the trials and the temptations and, Lord, the things of everyday life that you know that come our way. God, I pray that you will give us the wisdom to serve you and to do what is your good and acceptable will. Father, forgive me of my many sins, my many shortcomings where I have failed you. Give me the right attitude, the right spirit. Make me pure and holy as I preach to your people. Give me the right words to say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I would like to preach to you tonight, and we'll see how long it takes. Amen. Maybe we won't go quite as long as we did this morning. I'm looking around. Some of you kind of got a tired look on your face. So just stay awake best you can. Amen. And in Acts chapter number 20, what I read to you, in particularly in verse number 22, the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and we know who Paul is. He's a prolific writer of the New Testament. He wrote much of the New Testament in what we call the Pauline epistles, which are letters to churches or mission works or people that he knew, young men that he would send to them. And in this one, he is with the disciples, his disciples, and people that are serving the Lord, and they care about him deeply, and they want him to be okay. Even though he's serving the Lord, they want him to be okay. And so in verse number 22, he says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." See, Paul had a moral and a spiritual obligation to go to Jerusalem. Now, the reason that that's significant is because that's where the persecutors were. He could go to Rome and he could stand in Rome before Augustus and before all of the the hierarchy there. He could stand before them and he could give the testimony of Christ, but when he went to Jerusalem, he was going to be in front of the Sanhedrin. He was going to be in front of the people that he had grew up with. See, Paul, we forget that a lot of time. Paul was Saul before he changed his name to Paul, and Saul is the same name as the first king of Israel. Paul means small, insignificant, not important. And so Saul had went from being this great and mighty Pharisee who loved the congratulations of the other Pharisees and who persecuted the church, who was known as a murderer to the church, to a humble servant of Christ. And his name showed that he was no longer the identifying with Israel, but now he was small and insignificant and not much of anything. But he had that moral and that spiritual obligation to go to Jerusalem and to tell those people that he had grown up with, those men that he had admired, the people that he loved and yet had cast him out, that if they didn't trust Christ as Lord and Savior, they were going to die and spend eternity in hell. I would submit to you that this is probably the greatest task of Paul's life. Not because he's going to Jerusalem, but because he's going back to where he was from. And the most difficult people for us to win to the Lord is our family, those that are close to us, those that know us inside and out. I wonder, as he walked into Jerusalem, of course they were looking for him and they wanted him, but how many of the guys that he maybe went to school with were there? I mean, to this day, I've been out of high school for quite some time, but I run into people that I went to high school with, and in my eyes, I look at them and I think, man, they got old, you know, and I look at myself, I'm still quite young, and I mean, I'm still the same 19-year-old, 18-year-old that got out of high school. I don't know what happened to them, you know, but we see each other, and you almost instantly begin to go back in your mind and think about things in the way that they used to be. And we all know about memories and how impactful and strong they are. And so we have this man whose life had been turned upside down by Christ and for the cause of Christ. He had once persecuted Christ. He had persecuted the church. He hated the church. He didn't like what God was doing. And so he was against it. And now in Acts chapter number 9, he had that experience on the Damascus Road where the Lord asked him if it was hard for him to kick against the pricks. And now he's got to go back home to Jerusalem and tell them the gospel message. And so he says, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I get there, but I am bound in my spirit to go tell those people about this Savior who I serve now. He's warned of the perils that await him. He is begged, literally begged, not to go by his friends in the ministry. But listen to Paul's mindset as he talks to them. In verse number 24, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Then Paul answered in verse chapter number 21 and verse number 13, the Bible says, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only. See, he was bound in his spirit. He was spiritually bound, but he knew that there were physical bonds that were coming if he went to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, the Apostle Paul, had so much love for those people, cared so much about their eternal condition, that he said, I don't care what happens to my life. I don't care if I die in the service of Christ.
I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to tell them about the Savior whom I serve. Oh my, what God could do here at Gateway Baptist Church if we would get Paul's mindset and say, I'm going to serve God no matter what happens, no matter what comes in my life, no matter who doesn't like me anymore, no matter who decides that they don't want to be around me anymore, I'm going to serve God no matter what it costs me. Paul was bound in the Spirit. Man, what could happen if we got bound in the Spirit when we went to work on this week, Tuesday morning? What could happen if we got bound in the Spirit to tell somebody about Jesus and we didn't just give up at the first time that they got angry with us or got upset with us or maybe didn't even get angry and upset but just turned a deaf ear to us? I'm thinking now of a friend of mine who 20 years ago he stood by me in everything, or 25 years ago he stood by me in everything, and he and I enjoyed some good times together, and because of choices that I've made and choices that he's made, we've went two different directions. But I know and I believe in my heart that God's going to save him, amen? And I've been praying for him for 23 years now, and I believe that God's going to save my friend, amen? I believe God's working in his heart now, and I believe that God has opened up an avenue already. I just got to be willing to be bound in the Spirit and go where God wants me to go. Get bound in the Spirit. First thing, to give the gospel. To present the gospel. In Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15, we read, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." One man said one time, wherever there's a creature, there ought to be a preacher. I want to share with you guys that I am not super spiritual guy like that I may appear to be while I'm up here preaching to you tonight. I was sitting in the Burger King on Fairburn Road. I'm a frequent flyer when I just want to get a quick burger to the Burger King there, and praise God for that. Amen. Hey, there ain't nothing like a Whopper with cheese. Amen. Minus the ketchup, and throw me some mustard on that bad boy. So I was in there sitting at lunch, and I've already told Miss Tara about this. A young lady came in, and she is clearly distressed and frustrated, and she walked around and did a few things, and eventually I was sitting in a booth and I was facing toward the, if you're familiar with that area, toward the Shell station, looking out the window toward the Shell station across the street, and I watched her walk over to the Shell station and come back, and she sat down with her back toward me, and as she sat down, as soon as she sat down, in my heart I knew that I should have spoke up and said, "Hey, can I talk to you for a moment?" and give her the gospel. And I'd love to tell you, church, that I was super spiritual guy and that I made the right choice and that I presented that young lady with the gospel as any good preacher would. But the fact of the matter is I allowed my own fear of what she might say to me to prohibit me from giving her the gospel. And I watched as she got up eventually and walked off, and I got back. I was going back to my work van. I got back in my van after lunch was over with, and I sat down. And I just started thinking, oh my, I have let this young lady fall off into hell. It's a sobering thought when we look at each soul that way. Amen. It's a sobering thought when we are bound by God's commission to tell someone the gospel, and we do not do it because of our own fear or our own hesitations about what the situation may bring. Now, what if I would have told that girl the gospel and then got to baptize her this morning? Wouldn't that have been something? What if I'd have told her the gospel? What if I'd have been faithful to be bound in the Spirit to tell people about Jesus and about a Savior that loves her and cares for them and died on the cross so they could have life and have it more abundantly? Paul had this boldness. And it's my prayer that God will give me the same boldness. John 15, 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. When we begin to speak those words, those wonderful words of life, they are not our words. You don't have to fluff up the gospel and make the gospel sound more attractive. You just simply need to give the gospel.
Amen.
We don't have to make the gospel sound good. It's already sweet enough to somebody that's spiritually distressed. Amen. John 20 and verse number 21, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The Lord has called us and commissioned us and has sent us to give the gospel, to present the gospel message, to simply tell somebody about Jesus." Psalm 96 and verse number 3, "Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all the people." See, our problem is that we discriminate who is worthy of the gospel and who is not.
You're right.
We may say that we don't do that, but we do, by not giving it to everyone that we come across. And it usually goes something like this, and whispers from the enemy are, "Well, they don't want to hear about that. You're going to make the conversation uncomfortable if you talk about that." Be uncomfortable. God help us to get bound in the Spirit to give the gospel to those lost and dying and on their way to hell. The second thing is, I believe we can be bound in the Spirit to do what God wants us to do. We're looking again at the life of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 26. He's been to Jerusalem and now he is on his way to Rome. That's where he's trying to get so he can appeal to the Most High Court. In Acts 26 and 19, he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." He's talking about his change, his spiritual change that he had, and it's recorded in Acts chapter number 9, which I think it's interesting. It actually started way before that. If you read Acts chapter 7 and you come to the end of Acts chapter 7, you read about them stoning a man named Stephen to death. And at the end of that story, it says that the people who stoned Stephen laid their coats at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. I believe it was the same Saul. Amen. Why else would he be mentioned in Scripture? And there he was watching this servant of the Lord. I believe from that moment he saw the dedication that it would require to serve God. And instead of him submitting then, he ran from it. And then on the way to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, the Lord slapped him off his mule, amen, blinded him for a few days and got a hold of him and never let go.
Amen. Maybe that's what we need. Get knocked off our high horse one good time while we're going down the road. Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9, "Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah said, I'm just not going to preach no more. Jeremiah said, "I'm just not going to tell anybody about the Lord. I'm just not going to speak about him at all." But he said his word was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I couldn't help. I just had to tell somebody. The disciples said, "We cannot but speak the things that we have both seen and heard."
Right.
What is wrong with Christians today that have no problem keeping what we've seen and heard God do in our heart and in our lives? Ezekiel chapter 2 verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." The Lord's already prepared us. I remember one time I ran into a preacher friend of mine, and he and I were talking, and man, he got me good. I'll just tell you this. Now, he's probably prayed up when he said this to me, and thank God for it. But he told me, he said, "You got." He looked at me and said, "You got a gospel track on you?" I said, "Oh, man, I don't have a gospel track." He said, "No, but you got your testimony. You got what God did for you. It's there on your lips. It's in your mouth. It's what God done for you." Amen.
Ezekiel 3:14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. You might not even want to go tell somebody. That don't mean that God don't want you to go tell somebody.
Amen.
You might be in a bad mood. You might be backslid. We can't say that, can we? What? You mean a Christian can be backslid? In a heartbeat.
Yes.
In a thought. Not knowing who God's going to put in our path, who He's going to bring there, who He's going to set in front of us, that you and I must do what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. Galatians 1:16, the Bible says, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. That's the Apostle Paul speaking here. Galatians is a unique book because Galatians was not just written. You read the book of Ephesians, that's written to the city of Ephesus. You read Philippians, that's written to Philippi. You read Thessalonians, that's written to Thessalonica and other places. Titus is to the young man Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy to Timothy. And those Pauline epistles are written specifically to individuals. But Galatians was written to the churches, plural, of Galatia. Galatia would be a region in over there in that land. It would have been a good-sized region that would have had many cities inside of it. And he said, hey, I'm just going to hit them all in one stroke, and I'm going to write this to all of the churches in Galatia. The Word of God's good for everybody at every church, everywhere. Amen? And so he sends this letter out to multiple churches, and he says to them that the Lord's called me to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, the people that are not Jewish, outside of what I grew up in, outside of what I know. And he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. You know why? Because your flesh and blood will tell you, don't do that. Don't go down there. Your family will say, don't, like they did with Paul here, Paul's friends, they ask him, don't go, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You don't know what's going to happen to you. He said, what do you mean to break my heart? I'm going to go do what God wants me to do. There's one last thing I'll give you, and it will be done. Y'all might get lucky and get out of here before 7 o'clock. To be what God wants us to be. For this, we go back to that old story of a man named Jonah. And immediately when you say the name Jonah, you think Jonah and the... And rightly so. I like those nitpicky folks that say, well, the Bible doesn't say it was a whale, it says it was a great fish. Well, Jesus called it a whale. So you take it up with the incarnate Word of God. It was a large animal that lived in the water. And it literally swallowed a whole man.
Amen.
This is big, y'all. Now, here, I got a little funny thing I'll tell you. I think the old fella was just pulling my leg, but I remember one time I went fishing up in Blue Ridge when I was 12, 13 years old. We fished on the Blue Ridge, the lake. Is it Lake Blue Ridge? It's up there, Blue Ridge, whatever. We went up there and we went fishing. I remember being out on that boat. I'd never been out on a boat in my life. And we got over near the dam, and the old man that was on the boat, he looked at me and he said, you better not fall out of this boat. There's catfish in this lake as big as a small pickup truck. My little 12, 13-year-old mind went crazy. And I thought, I'd like to reel one of them rascals in. Because you know, when you're 12, 13, you don't think you're going to get ate by the fish. You think you're going to eat the fish. Uh-huh. I don't know whether it's true if they in there or not. Somebody right now is going, oh, it's true. And somebody's saying, I've seen them. No, you ain't. But that was such a monumental thing that a fish could swallow up an entire grown man. and keep him inside of himself for 3 days, and then go to the shore and vomit that man up on the shore. That's an incredible thing. Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 through 4 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Not only did Jonah endanger his own life, but he endangered the life of the ship's crew. He endangered all the people that were around him simply because he did not want to obey God's will. We have no idea how dangerous it is for ourselves and for everyone around us simply because we won't obey the will of God and do and be what God wants us to be. God told Jonah, go down to Nineveh and preach. If he had went down to Nineveh and preached, he'd have saw those people saved days earlier, and he wouldn't have had to be in the belly of the whale for 3 stinking days. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I caught a fish, it stunk, let alone being inside of it. I don't want to be no part of that. I don't want that. I don't want to have to go through that. I don't want to have to go through darkness and trials and tribulations simply because I am not obedient to what God wants me to do. Those men were on that ship with Jonah, and they said, we're going to draw lots to see who it is. Jonah's like, hey guys, it's me. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. Yeah. That's what it was. Jonah was the problem on that ship. And so they threw him over the ship. Now you think about that. Those people on that crew, they went through undue trauma and stress just because Jonah wasn't obedient. What kind of stress are we causing in other people's lives just because we're not doing what God wants us to do? We're not being what God wants us to be. Our decisions for the cause of Christ have an impact greater than we realize. And it's up to us to be obedient to the Lord so that He can use us the way that He wants to. But we must be bound in the Spirit to serve the Lord. I want to pray. If you need to pray, you come on down here to this altar in this time. If there's time, if nobody comes, nobody moves, and we'll close out service like we would on a Wednesday night. But this is your opportunity. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, you know what our people need. You know what I need, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to move and to help and have your will in your way. God, I ask you for grace. Lord, I ask you to show me, Lord, the discrepancies of my life. Show me, Lord, what I need to do to be obedient to you. Show our church, Lord, lead our church. Guide us and direct us in only the way that you can. God, help us. God, give us what we stand in need of. Lord, I ask this as humbly as I know how, in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.